10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. Nathan Liao here, and this is Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, the program where we discuss reality, the things that matter, and where we come together with sessions to update you and report to you the view from the wall. And right now, I have a warning. My prayer is that you will not take this warning lightly, because it is for those that have the ears to hear. The ears to hear, folks. This means that if you possess them, you also know what time it is. And it means that your clock has been well maintained, because you understand time is changing here in the good old U.S. of A. The homeland is becoming the USSA. The USSA, folks, the United Socialist States of America. But if America were turning socialist, all of the people would know it was happening and do something about it, right, folks? Well, actually, does a free society ever notice when its liberties are placed on the gurney with a flat line? When freedom starts to die in a nation, do the people rally together and cry out, "I object"? Or do the people find themselves too occupied to care? Perhaps the people are too hungry to care right now. Maybe the people have been lobotomized with their entertainments. Perhaps the unsuspecting villagers have succumbed to the poetic words of pretend delivered by Obama in the latest State of the Union address. How many of you folks heard the latest message? Everyone go back to sleep. Keep taking my medicine. All is well. And thus, the land of the USSA, or the unknowing society of slaves and androids, continues. It is not a joyful report, folks, for America has become the peeled land of people with dulled senses. But why are so many Americans believing the lies? Is it because too many Americans are medicated? Or is it something more sinister? Are Americans under a spell? If they are, who cast the spell and who's responsible for it? Who do I write to if I want to complain about this? My friends, I submit to you that indeed many of the people in America are under a spell right now. It's a delusion, a blindness, a spiritual slumber. Now, folks, from time to time, I do talk about the slumber that's over this nation. And if you're a regular listener, most likely you don't need convincing. And you're aware that this slumber is a battle that all of us are facing in these end times. And remaining awake and vigilant in the midst of people that will try to snuff your lamp is a challenge. And this is another reason for this program, to help you stay encouraged and also to inform you of things that are happening. Folks, America is in decline. And what is happening is not going to be stopped by the political process. It's not going to be stopped by educated men with PhDs. It's not going to be stopped by politicians who are self-confident. It's not going to be stopped by bankers who trust in their bank accounts. The thing that is happening right now is a divine order. It's a mandate from God, and it's going to transpire to the very end. So, my friends, your job is to be aware with understanding on how you can ride this thing out. If you're alone, write it out alone. Or if you have a family, writing it out with your family. But God knows that it's going to be challenging. And God knew that you would be alive right now. So it is not a time to be overcome with fear. It is a time to be equipped with the right tools. The tools of insight, knowledge, wisdom, and the will to complete this thing. The end times is not for cowards, folks. It's for those that are full of faith. So let's stay focused. And one of the things to help you stay focused is to be informed. Now, while we cannot know every detail of what's coming, we can know some of the things that are coming. If we're wise, we'll see the signs. If we're awake, we will know the signs. And if our hearts are in the right place, we will hear His voice. And that's my challenge for you folks, to be able to hear His voice on what to do. Now, on this program, we are going to talk about some of the events that are going to come in 2012. A few days ago, Mr. President Obama gave the world the speech of the State of the Union. It was fraught with fallacies and fables and pretend. It was very creative, but it was full of lies. And most of you know that it was full of lies. But right now, we don't need to be listening to the lies. We need to be listening to the truth. So on this program, we're going to talk about the real State of the Union. And even though there are some people out there that want to ignore the truth, I am thankful that you are smart and that you want to know the truth. So ladies and gentlemen, let's seek the truth. So today we're going to talk about several things. They have to do with the economy. They have to do with what's happening to the dollar, the EU. We've talked over and over that the EU is going to be toppling over and falling over the cliff. There are so many particulars and ways that this thing can play out, folks, but we're going to talk about it on this program. So I want to challenge you to share this program with every person that you know. Also, folks, I don't know how much longer the internet's going to be up, so I want to continue the challenge for you to send me your snail mail address. If the internet goes down, we have to maintain communication. Time's running out, folks. It may be a Monday where you wake up and your favorite websites will not come up. They're not going to tell you when that happens. It's just going to happen. So, folks, I want to challenge you. Send me your snail mail address so I can maintain communication with you. Our address is watchmanscry.com. Now, folks, again, this is going to be a very important program. And to help me discuss what's coming is my good friend who needs no introduction. I've had him before on this program, Mr. Benjamin Baruch. Benjamin, welcome to the program.
Well, it's really good to be here.
And, folks, just so you know, this is just a side note. It was about 30 minutes ago, Benjamin and his family and my family just spent a great session of praise and worship here at our location, and it was great, wasn't it, brother?
Hallelujah. It's always good to praise the Lord.
And I believe that the future of the church is not going to be in buildings with steeples. It's going to be in small locations with just a few people, and that's going to be the future of the remnant, which is going to be scattered. God's going to show up when they meet.
Amen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have Benjamin here so that we can discuss the things that really matter. You know, folks, it's not American Idol and it's not who the bachelor is going to pick for his new bride. There's a lot of silliness going on in the world. You know, Benjamin, I was reading Drudge Report. Do you read Drudge?
Yeah, I follow Drudge. I like Zero Hedge a little better, but I look at Drudge periodically.
I read a report. The U.S. Navy wanted to recreate the sailor coming off the ship and kissing their partner. You know that famous picture from World War II?
Right.
The guy comes off and he dips her and kisses her. Very beautiful picture. You get a tear in your eye when you see it. The boys are back from war. He's kissing his lady. He came back alive. It made you feel proud. In the 40s. Well, recently the Navy picked a photo opportunity for one of their sailors to come off the ship and kiss their partner. But it was a woman coming off the ship who is a sailor, and she kissed another woman, and she's dipping her. And that was the printed image that the Navy used to promote the exploits of the United States military. How does that make you feel? And for those individuals who believe that there's a political solution, well, there's not enough political brain power in the world to solve the moral problem that America now has. We're in trouble, folks. The nation is on fire. The village is burning. The morality has been tossed into the fireplace. It's been ran over. It's been thrown under the bus. And when God looks down from heaven, He's shaking His head because He has already declared that it is time for America to be judged. And in the midst of this judgment, still the nation does not want to repent. In the midst of this judgment, the nation wants to continue with its immoral nonsense, with its debauchery, with its embarrassing acts that the world looks at. And what does the world think when they see Babylon acting in such a manner, Benjamin?
You know, it's offensive, it's troubling, it's disturbing to your soul to even hear the wicked things that are going on. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. America is uncovering the wickedness within for all the world to see. America is a disgrace as it flaunts every form of evil and idolatry and calls evil good, and it calls the lie the truth.
So if this is where America is, and we're sharpening our swords, about to go into a new battle, how can a Christian in their right mind believe that God's going to have our back? He's going to put wind in our sails when we're acting this way. You know, Benjamin, I think this is a time for mourning. And by the way, as we go further in this program, that's what's coming this year and in the years ahead. Lamentation and mourning is coming to America, folks. If you're a regular listener, you've heard me talk about the lamentation that's coming to this country. America is not going to be the same nation several years from now. Its appearance is going to change, as it already is. But historians are going to have to seek and search for words to come up with a description of how an empire that was once great and mighty fell and was then looked down upon by the rest of the earth as they said, "Tisk, tisk, what happened to you, America? Oh, how the mighty have fallen," and many more mighty ones are going to fall. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a time for every one of you that are listening. It is time for us to be fasting and praying and getting our hearts right with God and seeking a solemn assembly and making sure that we are under the protection of God, because God is about to hurl lightning bolts of judgment down on this world. And God's going to use several categories of this method of judgment to strike pain in this land. He's going to use several categories of events to do this. So on this program, I'm going to talk about the economy, and also I'm going to talk about war. Now, those two are general categories, but then we're going to go into detail about the economy. How is the economy going to fall? How is it going to be destroyed? How is the dollar going to be destroyed? Benjamin, I want to talk about that, and then I also want to talk about the war that is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to this program, because I'm going to talk about a prophecy that the Holy Spirit gave me when I was seeking Him, and I'm going to share that in a moment after we talk about the economy. So, Benjamin, I don't know which one we should talk about first, but when we look at the state, the true state, not Obama's fictional state of the union, but when we look at the true state of the union, there are so many areas that are barely hanging in there. They're barely alive. They're in ICU. They're hanging and dangling over the cliff. They have duct tape trying to stop the flow of water. Benjamin, there's so many things that are happening. Let's talk about the EU first. Do you have any thoughts on what's going to happen in the EU this year, or how this thing may play out and how it's going to look eventually in the end?
Well, at the present time, it appears the European Union is ultimately going to force the weaker states, the countries that have in effect bankrupted themselves through socialist welfare programs that are no longer affordable, they're going to force them into some form of debt modification or debt default, where losses will be recognized on their debts, and those losses are going to hit the banking system. They're also forcing those countries into greater and greater levels of austerity, where they're cutting pensions, they're cutting salaries, they're cutting the benefits of the social welfare state to the average person, and at the same time, they're raising taxes, which will push those countries into a depression. But we've really come to the end of the game. The world has been sold a bill of goods. There was a free lunch, that we could get something for nothing, that we could live beyond our means, and that the government could just borrow money forever without limitation. And it was quite a party while it lasted, but we've come to the proverbial end of the road. And at the end of the road, it's only a question of how the reality, if you will, the bill for the lunch that everyone's enjoyed, comes due. Who is going to pay? Who is going to take the loss? Is it the banks holding now worthless debt? Or is it the people whose currency will have to be devalued in order for the debt to be repaid out of future economic profits? It's a question of who takes the losses. In Europe, it looks like the banking system is going to take the hit, along with the taxpayers. In the United States, the banks are getting off scot-free, and the American people are going to bear the full brunt of the pain through Ben Bernanke's magical quantitative easing program, where he just prints limitless amounts of new U.S. dollars, even more worthless than before. And the American people, apparently they flunked algebra. They think that we can painlessly continue to increase the money supply, the Fed can print trillions and trillions of dollars, and that we are somehow going to finance an economic expansion using monopoly money. In the end, you are going to end up with national bankruptcy and the savings and the wealth of the American middle class destroyed.
Now, you mentioned austerity in Europe, and when I've seen some of the news reports on the reaction to these decisions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, austerity means the Social Security check from each given nation gets reduced. Okay, Benjamin, so I'm seeing the images from Greece and then some of the other nations. When they're told grandma's paycheck is going to get lowered, the people are getting mad, and we're seeing riots in the street. They're starting to light their torches. They're sharpening their pitchforks over there, and they're having riots. And the powers that be are reacting with their tear gas and their force and their batons, telling the people to not be upset about it. Benjamin, what's happening there is just the beginning of what's going to come here. That's going to cross the pond. When grandma's Social Security gets reduced, is austerity coming to the United States, Benjamin?
Not only is austerity coming to the United States, a total economic depression is coming to the United States. Widespread, absolute poverty is coming to the United States. And in the cities of America today, we've seen from the Black Friday videos, people turn into animals in order to take advantage of an opportunity to buy a $10 toaster or save a few dollars on the latest video game. When deprived of food or water for a day or more, the cities will erupt and the people will respond with the mind of the beast. They've been programmed to think like animals, to behave like animals, and now they are going to erupt in the rage of the beast system, which is really a rabid animal.
Rabid animal, ladies and gentlemen. So if you are on Social Security, if you have your monthly check that you take for granted, right now is not the time to be taking things lightly. Savor and be very wise with every dollar that you're getting right now. The future is going to be very hard, and I don't want to just have this program to scare you if you're on Social Security telling you it's going to go away, but folks, I have to be honest here. Eventually, the people of God are going to be struggling, and the entire nation is going to be struggling, and that's why we're talking about this, because struggle is coming, and the equation is not just that you're going to struggle, so plan not to struggle. The equation is you're going to struggle, so you need to be getting stronger spiritually, so that while you're struggling, your faith in God will not be damaged, so that you will not doubt God, so that you will not get angry at Him. It's going to take a whole new way of thinking with our faith. It's going to take the sacrifice of being able to trust in God in ways you never imagined, folks. Now, we're going to discuss this more, but that is why if we have 6 months till this thing happens or a year. Benjamin, how long can Social Security continue before the checks are done for the people?
Well, they're not going to stop sending out the checks. What's going to happen is the value of the dollar is going to fall faster and lower as we go further into this crisis. You'll still get your $2,000 Social Security check, only gasoline instead of $3 a gallon will go to $6 a gallon, $9 a gallon, $12. 15. And depending on when they finally stop printing the money to balance the books, there's no limit to how high the inflation can run. We've been able up to this point, Nathan, to export most of our inflation. What has been happening is the United States has been printing money to finance its deficits. And our trading partners, the Europeans who sell us their fancy cars, the Arabs who sell us the oil to run those cars, the Chinese who sell us everything else we buy at Walmart, have been absorbing more and more dollars. Even though we've been printing these dollars, they have not wanted to lower the exchange rate, which would mean the prices for their products would necessarily go up. The everyday low prices at Walmart will turn into the everyday higher prices soon. When our trading partners stop subsidizing our deficits by accumulating our dollars, which they know are declining in value. Now, for the last 40 years, the United States was the superpower of the world. And the Arab states that were selling us oil, they recycled their oil sales into U.S. treasuries. Our trading partners in Europe bought our debt. Even the Chinese have bought over $1 trillion of our debt. They have known that we've been gradually printing more and more money. But over the last 40 years, Nathan, it was a small amount of inflation, 2%, 3%, 4% a year. It was a form of tax that was being assessed on everyone that holds U.S. currency or that holds investments denominated in U.S. dollars. But the Saudi Arabians were willing to pay the tax because they had our military supporting their regime. But if it was a modest tax and the value of our military support that protected their political legitimacy, it was considered to be a deal that made sense. That has all changed now, Nathan. As the government prints more and more money to pay its bills, the value of the dollars in circulation are a direct function of the number of dollars that have been printed. If there's $1 trillion in circulation and the value of the economy is $1 trillion, then each paper dollar has a value of a real economic unit or an economic dollar. But if suddenly over the course of a few weeks, few months, the federal government doubles the quantity of paper dollars in the economy, we print $1 trillion paper dollars. So now there are $2 trillion paper dollars in an economy worth $1 trillion of real economic value. Suddenly the paper dollars are worth 50 cents. If we print $10 trillion paper dollars, they're worth 10 cents. Well, what's been happening is we've been printing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars for years and years and years, and we've been exporting them through the trade deficit, which has been running on average $500-700 billion a year. Well, over 10 years, we've exported between $5 and $7 trillion of our debt. The amount of debt outside the United States denominated in, you know, that's U.S. dollar-based debt is in the tens of trillions, and when this shell game ends, Nathan, there is no exit for those debt holders. When the world decides it's time to sell the U.S. dollar, there'll be no buyers. The dollar could lose 50, 70, even 90% of its value in a matter of a few weeks.
Okay, so for this game to continue, when the Treasury has their monthly offerings of more dollars, other nations would come to the auction and invest in those dollars, and that game continued for years. But if no one shows up at the auction, Benjamin, what happens?
Well, for the last 2 years, really the only person at the auction with any serious money has been the Fed. We've been printing money to buy the federal debt. How we've survived this far without a major inflationary impact is a result of two things that have been happening. Number one, the country is really in a depression. And the depression has been getting worse quarter by quarter, year by year. And this depression has caused price pressures downward in several sectors of the economy. Housing prices have been falling. Detroit can't sell all the cars that they manufacture. So there's been pressure downward on the price of cars. The inflation that's been getting created, Nathan, through all the money we've been printing, it is only manifesting in the two sectors of the economy where demand is inelastic relative to price. And that's economic jargon for if the price goes up, people still have to buy the product because they need to eat and they need to heat their house. Food and energy, those prices are exploding in this country. They are going up at double digits because even in a recession, people still want to eat. And even in a depression, people still want to live in a house that's warm during the winter, and they still have to drive their cars. They still have to function on some level. So the demand for energy and the demand for food is inelastic. What that means is if the price of food were to double tomorrow, people would not suddenly eat half as much. People would find a way to pay twice as much for the food they're consuming. There might be a little marginal drop in demand, but nothing compared to the change in price. So the inflation that's being created through the printing of money is only hitting the sectors of the economy which have inelastic demand curves. That's food and energy. All the other sectors of the American economy where demand is a function of economic activity, demand is collapsing. And as a result, prices are soft and declining. That's how we've, in part, been hiding the inflation. The government has also been cooking the books on how they measure inflation through a number of fancy statistical deceptions, hedonic deflation adjustments. That's the fancy word for quality improvements. They've been basically pretending that simply because computers are a little faster, some issue that doesn't pertain to true economic value, they nevertheless say, well, the fact the price is up 20% over last year, let's ignore that because it's really a better widget than the one that we sold last year. So they hide the price inflation in these perceived quality adjustments. That's part of it. And the other part is our trading partners who, though they're not showing up at the treasury auction in the size that they used to, they're nevertheless not exiting the U.S. dollar. It's kind of like a game of musical chairs. And right now the music is still playing. So you've got the Chinese and the Saudis and our Arab partners and the European countries. They all know the game of musical chairs is going to end soon, but they're waiting for the music to stop before they try to leap into the last remaining chair on the floor. Now, quietly in the background, Nathan, the countries of the world are trying to exit the dollar, but they're trying to do so in a way that will not spook the markets. If China went into the world currency markets and said, we would like to sell 1 trillion U.S., please, at the market, the value of the dollar would drop 30% that day. It would drop 30% on that trade. And investment desks all over the world, in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, in Europe, South America, all over the world, people would see that China had just issued a sell ticket for 1 trillion U.S. bonds. It would send panic through all the world's financial markets. So they can't sell all their dollars.
Not yet.
Not yet, without collapsing the system. So all of our trading partners know that it's almost game over for America, but the music's still playing. We're at the very end of the show, and so they're quietly trying to get out of as many dollars as they can without dramatically affecting price.
Okay, Benjamin, a question. You said that the very important parts of American life are the two categories that are actually going up, while some other things are going down, like houses. But you said food and fuel are going up. So bottom line, doesn't that mean that the dollar has lost purchasing power?
Oh, yes. Well, since the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, which was 99 years ago, the value of the dollar has fallen about 97%. They're going to take care of the remaining 3% in the next year or two.
Now, in the last few years, though, has the percentage of devaluation actually been higher and quicker since food's going up? Food seems to be getting up higher, Benjamin.
Food has gotten very expensive if you are actually keeping track. Real inflation in the United States, if you're using methodology that was the official methodology back in the 1970s, the real rate of inflation in the United States is something between 7 and 10% right now.
Right now?
Right now.
So the propaganda machine, they're lying.
Yes, the propaganda, they're lying. And you need to understand the impact of these lies. Most of our pension programs, Social Security, a lot of the entitlement programs have cost of living adjustments, COLA increases, they call them. These cost of living adjustments, they automatically occur by law based on official rates of inflation. So the government has figured out clever ways to not count the inflation. So the official rate of inflation is between 2 and 3%, while in the real world, all of us know prices for food and energy are moving much faster than that.
So that's why grandma's Social Security check isn't buying as much food.
Grandma's Social Security check is not providing the same living standard because it can't. You know, the government in these cost of living adjustments, Nathan, they're looking at CPI, which is the consumer price index or consumer price inflation. They're looking at CPI X or excluding food and energy because back in the 70s, economists theorized that food and energy prices were volatile. If there was bad weather, crops might become more expensive. Next year, there could be a great harvest and prices fall. And so this volatility in harvest productivity can lead to volatility in food prices that are not reflective of overall inflation trends. That's the argument why food was excluded. Energy also had certain political stability risks. There's a war in the Middle East, the price of oil goes up, has nothing to do with the rate of inflation. So the economic theory was, well, we'll exclude food and energy because they're more volatile than average prices, and we'll only measure inflation X food and energy. But food and energy are the only sectors that are inelastic relative to price. So when you've got a depression occurring, and you're also running an inflation to hide your depression, the depression will manifest in all of the sectors of the economy while the inflation manifests in the food and energy space. And as the government has lied to us about the true level of inflation, our listeners need to understand when we talk about whether the economy's in a recession or a depression or we're having that wonderful recovery, you know, the hopey, changey thing that all of our people that are sleeping voted for. That recovery. Well, the recovery is calculated by measuring nominal GDP, gross domestic product. By nominal, what I mean to say is they measure the net change in the GDP of the economy before an inflation adjustment. They just use gross total prices. Then they subtract the official level of inflation, and from that, what's left is the real change in GDP, the real economic growth in the economy. So let me give you an example. If the nominal GDP is growing at 4% a year, and the official rate of inflation is 2% a year, then the real rate of economic growth is 2%. If the rate of inflation is 3% while the economy grows nominally at 4, the real rate of economic growth is only 1. But if the nominal rate of economic growth in the United States is 4% and the real rate of inflation is 7%, the economy is deteriorating or shrinking by negative 3% a year.
I heard the actual GDP is in the negatives.
It is in the negatives. It's been negative since 2007. And the only thing that's been masking this illusion, this house of mirrors that's been installed, is the misstatement of all this economic data. You know, the unemployment rate can continue to fall as long as you don't count the unemployed. I was at Walmart this morning, and there are dozens of people who are living in their cars at Walmart every night. I mean, there's a growing underclass that are in absolute poverty and suffering. They're unemployed, but they're not counted. They're not officially unemployed because they simply don't exist in our official records.
Benjamin, it's almost like a word that people don't want to say, but I keep saying it on this program, and it's interesting to hear you say it. We're in a depression, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're there.
It's not just a depression. This is the greatest depression.
It started. So how come no one from the media, why wouldn't they come out and say, folks, we're in a depression? We're there. They're lying to you.
Well, there are voices that will tell you that. Mark Faber will tell you that. Peter Schiff will tell you that. There are a few voices that are telling the truth, but they're the minority. What you've got more is the talking heads of what I call bubble vision TV. These are the court jesters of Babylon. When you turn on the business news in the morning, you hear these people talking as if they were experts in something. And the reality is, I think they hire these people when they're interviewing them. They must be very, very careful to select people who don't even know what they're talking about. They're reading from a teleprompter. One of them, Nathan, this was hilarious. One of these business news reporters was commenting that the price of gold fell today while the U.S. dollar rose. And the reason gold fell is gold is not backed by anything, whereas the U.S. dollar is backed by the United States government. And this news reporter actually said this as if it was a serious statement. Now, whoever told her that was playing a joke on her, because that is about the dumbest thing you could say. I mean, that's a Steve Martin news report.
Folks, that's a true story. Listen to this clip right here.
Bridget joins us now. Bridget, overall, how did today compare to yesterday?
The biggest surprise of today was definitely gold. It was down about $100 an ounce. That represents the biggest two-day drop in 28 years. There's a couple of things going on today. Some investors were selling off their gold holdings to try to make up for losses in other areas. But Todd Hirsch says there's something else happening here, too. Some investors aren't confident that with what gold is backed by, or if it's backed by anything at all, as compared to something like the U.S. dollar. Investors are comfortable that the U.S. dollar is backed by the American government. So no matter what is happening to the American economy, something like the U.S. dollar is backed by the Federal Reserve. That's going to be around a year from now. That's a much more comfortable investment for them.
I mean, it's hilarious. You know, gold is not backed by anything.
Right. Exactly.
The only thing safe is the U.S. dollar, because it's backed by Ben Bernanke's printing press, and he can print trillions more where those came from.
Okay, Benjamin, so you have given us a good synopsis of the debt problem that we have. With Europe, I'm hearing the big problem is a sovereign debt, and eventually it's going to fall apart, and the bubble's going to pop.
Look at it this way, Nathan. You know, all this stuff seems really complicated, folks. It's actually not that complicated. All right, look. The American people and the general public all over the world, they're the ones in debt. We owe the mortgages. We owe the credit cards. We owe the car loans. Who did we borrow the money from?
Our bank.
The banks. Okay. Now that we know who owns the debt, the banks own the debt, the big institutional investors, the really rich people own the debt. All right. So what they're going to do, it's a real clever shell game maneuver. What they're going to do is they're going to write off part of the debt. Then they're going to stick what's left down your throat. Let's say that the country owes, or let's talk about the globe. The globe owes $180 trillion, okay? There's $180 trillion in debt. Global GDP is $60 trillion. The average profit on economic activity is about 10%. So there's $6 trillion of real income in the world every year, and we owe $180 trillion. Now, if the interest rate on the $180 trillion, and let me round it up to $200 trillion, so if the world owes $200 trillion, and don't worry, with Ben Bernanke and Barack Obama at the helm, we'll owe $200 trillion soon enough, folks. But when we owe $200 trillion, if the interest rate is 3%, Nathan, how much interest do we have to pay? $6 trillion. Well, I just told you the world's income was $6 trillion. That would mean that every dime that every person on the planet makes has to go to the banks. Everyone would starve to death. So look, the banks can't take all the money from us because we would die, and who would work in their slave factories? So they have to leave enough crumbs on the table to keep the serfs alive in the global plantation so that they can continue to work in the slave labor camps. It's feudalism. It's a return to the dark ages. It's serfdom via global socialism. I call it change you can believe in.
Benjamin, this is evil.
It came out of the pit of hell. It's Lucifer's salvation for mankind.
Okay, question. With what's going on with the condition of the dollar, eventually the game's going to be over. The dollar's going to be worthless. Is that what you...
Well, or it's going to drop very, very far.
Are they concerned about this?
Not at all. They're going to stick that loss with the American taxpayer.
How do they do that?
Oh, it's very simple. They control a few of the big money center banks. When they've got bad loans, they bought a bunch of garbage, toxic assets. They just sell them to the Fed, who ends up having to, you know, absorb the loss, which is similar to the U.S. Treasury. They then just get cashed out. They take the cash and they buy gold in Hong Kong. They keep the gold, you get the worthless assets. But back to my example, Nathan. So we've got $200 trillion in debt in the world. Okay, the world only earns $6 trillion a year of income. So we can't pay $6 trillion to the bankers. All right, let's say I'm the banker. I own the $200 trillion, and you, my listeners, you are my little slaves. I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to write off your debt. Tell you what, you can't pay me the $200 trillion. I know it. You know it. Let's just write it off to an even $100 trillion. Sound fair? And now I'm going to set the interest rate at 6%. Wait a minute. You have to give me all your money again. I just wrote off half your debt, and you aren't saving a dime. All right, how about if I write off 3/4 of your debt? You only owe me $50 trillion, and I'm going to set the interest rate at 12%. Oh, wait a minute. I get all the money again. Do you see how this game is going to be played, my friends? It doesn't matter what level of debt restructuring they do. All they have to do is adjust the interest rate, and they can collect whatever percentage of global income they want.
And when they adjust the interest rate, what does that do to the price of things that we need to survive on?
It hammers them. Well, in terms of investment assets, they get hammered. In terms of inelastic goods such as food and energy, they go higher. So they're going to squeeze the people into total poverty.
So that's where the big – is it going to be inflation or hyper? What do you think?
Well, that's a complex question, and I don't think there's a universal answer for every country. It'll be decided by the actions that they take. The inflation will continue as long as they expand the money supply. But as I just explained to you, when they get to the point where they say, all right, no more printing money, we're going to need to defend the dollar now, right? Suddenly they'll get religion and they'll tell you, we've got to defend the dollar. At that point, it's obvious we cannot pay our debts. So they'll begin to write the debts down. There's going to be debt relief, but it's a shell game. They write down your debt and then they raise your interest rate. At the end of the day, the international banking cartel intends to bleed the world dry of all of its wealth. Whether we owe $50 trillion and pay them 12% a year, or whether we owe $100 trillion and pay them 6%, or $200 trillion and pay them 3%, it adds up to they take everything. This is a game where winner takes all. Now, that's a change you can believe in.
Okay, Benjamin,
You know, I love that hopey, changey thing. I mean,
yeah, that's beautiful.
It really motivated me.
The Holy Spirit showed me several years ago that the dollar was going to be abandoned and the rug was going to be pulled out. And this was a prophetic word. It was a prophecy. And then I sought God over the course of a few months, and he gave me some more dreams to confirm it. And this was the end of 09. And then, remember back then? Okay. When God gave me that prophetic word and I sought him, he went a little bit further and he told me that Lamentations was coming to America. And if you're a regular listener, you've heard me talk about this. I have it on my website. You can go to watchmanscry.com to listen to it. But the bottom line of this prophecy was the Holy Spirit said, Nathan, read the book of Lamentations, the five chapters, and the things that happened to Jerusalem when they were under siege, when they could no longer get food, and they experienced the famine, and it was a terrible time in Israel's history. The Holy Spirit said, many of the events that Israel went through in Lamentations are coming to America. So tell the people that's going to happen. So I did, Benjamin, and over the course of years, we've talked about this. Now, what you're saying, when it finally does translate and these events appear before all of the listeners and all of the people, how long is that going to take for that to happen? One of the prophetic dreams God gave me back then, I was in a shopping mall, and the only restaurant that was open was the high school cafeteria, and it had neon sign, neon words, and they were selling their meals for $30. And in the dream, I got mad because $30 for a cafeteria meal in the dream was too high. Right now in a high school, I asked someone, what do they go for now? $4 or $5 probably in school around there. So if the average price of a school meal is $5, but in my dream it's $30, that's 6 times that it went up. What kind of inflation would get us to that point? And then in the dream, I got mad and I walked out of the shopping mall and a Chinese restaurant appeared in front of me. You remember I shared that? And I walked down the sidewalk to the Chinese restaurant, and there was a waiter outside. He was Chinese and he had a menu in his hand, and he was smiling, holding it up. So I looked at the menu and I was looking at all his prices, and I told myself, you know what? I just want a cup of coffee. How much is a cup of coffee? And he pointed with a big grin. It was $10 for a cup of coffee, and then the dream was over. So to do that calculation right now, what's a cup of coffee?
$2.50.
So that's 400%.
400%.
So now I don't know if this is going to happen in over one weekend or over the course of several months to get that expensive for things, but
it would take a little bit of time. It's not going to change in one day.
But is it feasible that we could see things going up that much, 400% for meals? And
absolutely.
Does your spirit bear witness that we could be seeing prices like that?
Well, it's a very complicated process. We've touched on a few things. Part of the pricing matrix, if you will, is the relationship of the U.S. dollar and the cost of imports. Ultimately, energy is the primary input cost that permeates our economy. If the Arab states abandon the U.S. dollar and demand that the United States pay for the oil that we import with real money, not printed monopoly money, we could see the price of oil explode. If that were to happen, we would have an energy shock that would quickly move through the system. You could see dramatic price inflation come very, very quickly over a period of maybe a year or two. Now, if you compounded the situation with something like a stunning military defeat of American forces in some foreign theater, perhaps the Persian Gulf, and an American aircraft carrier were sunk, at the same time that OPEC nations abandoned the dollar, you could see a psychological shock to the dollar that would compound the selling. We could go further, and let's just say, suppose there was also at the same time another 9/11 type event on the mainland. Only instead of a couple office buildings, a little bit of commercial space being destroyed, and you know, and a few thousand lives lost, let's say the next 9/11 was 1,000 times as significant. There were 1,000 times as many lives lost. Instead of 3,000, it'll be 3 million. And instead of a couple office buildings leveled, you know, the Pentagon slightly damaged, let's say there's 7 cities that are devastated. At the same time that the OPEC nations abandon the dollar, at the same time that American forces suffer a stunning defeat publicly overseas in the sinking of a carrier, for example. Now, if all three of those were to occur in a relatively short window of time, Nathan, you could see a total collapse in the dollar. And by total collapse, I mean it could be 80, 90% almost overnight. And that shockwave would permeate through our price structure that you could see prices that would be ridiculous because price would almost no longer be an efficient market clearing mechanism. We could have absolute scarcity. You'd go to the grocery store and say, well, how much is the price of toilet paper today? And they would say, there is no price. We have none. You say, well, I'm willing to pay $100 a roll. The toilet paper's gone. Scarcity could actually be the bigger factor than price.
Okay, Benjamin, I don't know how it's going to play out, but I'm just asking you as a financial analyst how it could play out. And you mentioned three things. OPEC nations saying we want real money, war, and we have a blow that is stunning, and a terrorist attack. In a little bit, we're going to talk about the possibility of all three of those things actually happening. And according to a lot of rumors that are out there, not prophetic rumors, but just rumors in general, there's a huge concern amongst a lot of those that have their ear to the ground that these things are very much a possibility. And we're going to talk about that, Benjamin. But ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to analyze and to put to words how these things are going to happen. And it's interesting to put into words the actual causes of your discomfort that is coming. And it's easy to put into words the different diagnoses of economic failure that's going to make you have things that are scarce. But the bottom line is that according to the prophetic warning that the Holy Spirit has given to me in the future of the United States of America, now I don't have the date, but let me just say it this way. In the coming years, we could be talking 2, 3, 5 years, but in the coming years, these things are going to happen in America. We're going to see your latte cost more than you're paying now. It's $5. It's going to go up 400%. So that means it's going to be $20 eventually. I see these things going up 400 to 600%. The actual variables that are going to cause it to happen, I don't know, folks, but my brother right here, Benjamin, and we are in total agreement that events are going to come together. The variables are all going to come together, not because of bad luck, but here's why, folks. Because the U.S. Navy thinks that it's good PR to have a lesbian kiss another lesbian when she gets off the ship. And God has had enough of this nonsense. And we can itemize event after event and all of these moral failures of this nation. But the long story short, folks, is God's done.
Amen.
And the United States of America has earned the spanking that she's going to get. So, Benjamin, thank you for sharing how the debt game is played. But the bubble has grown too large and it's going to pop in the United States and in Europe. So in your opinion, Benjamin, those games, those shell games, the debt game, the trade game, the deficit game, all these things that made the biggest credit boom in the history of, is it recent history, Benjamin, or could we say the world?
This is record territory for world history.
Okay, the biggest credit boom in the history of mankind has been ridden by our generation, folks, and we're done. That's it. And Benjamin, is there any logical way, if we were to compare ourselves to the first depression, that depression had a few variables that are probably similar, but there are a lot of things that are not similar. One of them is the moral fiber of society, the character that the average person had then compared to now, the factories that we had back then versus now. The world is now more unified. The formula can't work out the same way in a positive manner like it did back then, can it?
No, the country pulled together. A high percentage of the population lived in the farm. There was the ability for the nation to respond.
People aren't the same.
This will be a bloodbath. There will be lives lost. The blood will literally run in the street.
And folks, I want to say this. I have a handicap of not having the complete picture, and Benjamin and I talk off the air a lot. We have a lot of phone calls, and we only know in part, and we only prophesy in part. So I don't know if it's going to happen over the weekend, and on Monday when you turn on the TV, there's chaos. Or is it going to be a slow thing? What's the event going to be? Benjamin, I don't know. Has the Holy Spirit shared with you how it's going to actually play out?
Well, you know, we all see through a mirror darkly. And there is a big difference between what the Lord has revealed and what we can perceive. I can tell you that we are in the end game. I can tell you that the international experts on the economy and on the financial markets are saying that 2012 will be the year of great geopolitical changes in the world. This is the year when the world's political system changes. This is the year when the dollar collapses. This is the year when the crisis comes to a head. My own insight, my own opinion, and I want to take personal credit for this. This is my opinion only. It's not a thus saith the Lord. But I am persuaded, and I believe wholeheartedly, and in my opinion, I am certain of the following conclusions. But they are mine and mine alone. 2012 will be the year in which we watch all of these things come to pass. We will see the next war. We'll see the financial collapse of the United States. We'll see the persecution of the church. And we'll see the beginning of the rise of the one world government, the new world order. On December 21st, 2012, we're going to cross a date in time that represents a point where our solar system, we exit the current age, the astrological age, the Maseroth age of Pisces, and we move into the new age. And the ruling elite, the forces of darkness, want us to also emerge into the new world order at or around that time. So in my opinion, the old world, the current world, the world of American dominance, the world of American supremacy, this world is ending this year. And a new world is rising, and it will be rising out of the ashes. And I mean literally the ashes.
Benjamin, when you add to the equation New Age beliefs of entering the age of Aquarius, then it becomes, for those out there that are trying to figure this thing out, then we're adding a variable of evil, human nature that's believing some very evil thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, a few months ago, it actually has probably been about a year, I did a program that talked about this. We studied the coming age of Aquarius. We studied the writings of Alice Bailey, the New Age satanic demon-possessed woman who wrote several books under the influence of a satanic spirit. In the 1930s, she wrote several volumes, and in her book, she talked about the coming New Age and how it was going to look. She talked about how the governments needed to come together and how the people were going to have to enter this New Age and the evolution of what the Earth was going to go through. And in her view, going into the New Age meant that the Earth was going to have a new birth, and the individuals who were going to go into the New Age had to earn it. They had to be chosen. They had to actually be those that passed the test, if you will. And the test, according to the New Agers, had to do with if an individual believed like they did. If you have your pen and paper, folks, write this name down. Barbara Marx Hubbard. She wrote a book called Happy Birthday, Planet Earth. And in her book, she stated that in the coming New Age, the Earth was going to have to be purged 75% of its population, because only 25% of those living on the Earth understand what's coming. They understand the science and religion of the New Age. Therefore, 75% of the Earth has to die. So we have people that actually believe this nonsense, folks, but here's the part that's very concerning, folks. A lot of political leaders who have control of the marionette strings of this Earth believe the same way, and they actually want to see the Earth purged before they enter into the New Age. Benjamin, when we throw this into the equation, it's like a person that has a suicidal tendency who's not afraid to see the bombs go off because they actually want destruction to fulfill their plan. The Iranians want their Mahdi to come. Recently, one of the Ayatollahs said that it's time for the Mahdi to appear, and Iran is going to have to go through an Armageddon in order for the Mahdi to appear, meaning they welcome war, meaning they're not totally afraid of war, and it's not going to bother them if they get attacked, because in their view, getting attacked means their savior appears. So, folks, you have the Iranians with this belief, and then you have the New Agers. By the end of the year, Benjamin, they believe that we're going to enter this plane. So is it possible that in some crazy, sinister way, they want World War III to happen, and they want to see billions of people die on purpose so the Earth can enter the New Age?
Oh, absolutely. No question. The New World Order must be birthed out of the ruins of the old world, like a phoenix rising from the ashes and the flames of the prior world order. And if some of our listeners misunderstand and think we're somehow, you know, placing credence on these occult sources or astrology sources, in Psalm 19, the scripture says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech, night unto night they show knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The Lord put signs in the heavens." And this Mayan calendar date is nothing more than the point where our Earth and our solar system pass through the galactic median, the plane in which the galaxy of the Milky Way rests, and we're going to pass through to the other side. This is a 13,000-year circumference, so it's a relatively significant event that's about to take place, and the world is at the precipice of some rather stunning crises. It is my opinion that these crises and these events are going to coalesce this year in perhaps some of the biggest events in the history of the world since the fall.
And now with that said, I would like to segue into talking about the war. When I look at the black and white photographs of the First Great Depression, and then I look at the black and white photographs of World War II, and you see the images of London, the bombed out ruins, in a lot of countries, there were overnight bombing runs and raids, and the people went and lived in their basements. So you have the people in the city, their houses were ruins. And then I've seen the black and white images of people living in the country, and they're just going out there weeding their garden, and they're eating the food that they grew. So if we were to compare the images of what we saw then and the ones that prospered then, and I'm not trying to make the will of God right here. I'm just thinking out loud here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were to be a person that's trying to figure this thing out, in the coming days that we have facing us, common sense tells me, Benjamin, that if you're in the inner city living next to a bunch of people who have short tempers and are impatient.
If God's called you to live in the inner city, then you stay there and you walk out God's ministry in your life. But just in natural wisdom, you should get out of the cities.
That's what I was.
Yeah. Run. Do not walk. Run out of those cities. You must leave now. There's almost no time left. You can't sit on this.
When we look at history, when we see when Jerusalem was under siege, the people left in advance, the Christians left, and they went into the country.
But only a few.
But only a few. Jesus said, run to the mountains.
Right. Well, in Europe in the 1930s, the writing was on the wall. They were passing the same legislation that we're passing today. And the people were watching their liberties be destroyed. They were watching the noose gradually be put around their necks. And the Lord was telling them, God actually spoke in an audible voice to a number of rabbis in the Jewish congregations throughout Germany and throughout Europe in the 1930s. They heard the Lord speak to them in an audible voice, and he told them, get out of the country and get out of Europe and go warn the people. And these rabbis wrote books. They had radio shows like Nathan, and you know they had their Jewish Watchman's Cry version, and they tried to warn the people that this terrible judgment was coming. Only 1% listened. The vast majority just said, well, that's nice, and I'll have another strudel with a cup of coffee, please. And they just went back to life as usual because they could not conceptualize the judgment would come in their lives and it would actually reach out and touch their souls. But indeed it did, and it will again.
So we're not going to sum up what God's will is for you, but note to self, ladies and gentlemen, if God has been bugging you and prompting you and whispering to you and giving you dreams and you've been seeing these different hints from the Holy Spirit that it's time for you to get out of Dodge, my friends, here's a question. What are you waiting for? You might have to take some losses. It might be expensive. It might be painful. But in the big picture, the future of this country is going to have great vexation of soul. There's going to be great lamentation. There's going to be mourning. Katrina is going to be reproduced from the East Coast to the West Coast. The way that the villagers started misbehaving, the anger that so many people had, the lack of empathy and sympathy, the evil that's going to be unleashed on America is going to be ugly. So, side note, write that down. We're running out of time. If you're going to move, we're running out of time. Now, I want to segue into the coming war. And to get started, I want to share with the audience this prophecy that the Holy Spirit gave to me. On January the 15th of this year, the Holy Spirit gave me a prophetic word when I was seeking him. I was preparing for a program, for a sermon, and it was beautiful, Benjamin. The Holy Spirit just showed up, and his presence filled the room, and he said, start writing. So I started writing, and I filled up 2 pages of a prophecy, and when I got to page 2, I saw a vision while I was writing, Benjamin, and I'm going to share that. Let me just go ahead and read it, folks. A great uproar, a great sound, destruction and lamentation, grief in the shadows, grief in the high places, grief in the low places. The land shall mourn. The land shall cry out and wish for the past. It will be too late for many. It will be too late for seeking. It will be too late for shelter. It will be too late for labor. It will be too late for mercy. So seek it now. Seek Him now. Seek His wisdom. Seek His solitude, His guidance, and His direction. Humble yourself in His sight so that His mercy can shine. Now, Benjamin, up to this point, I've read page 1. It sounds like it's describing something bad, but it didn't go into detail. When I got to page 2, the Holy Spirit continued, and after I had written just a few lines, I saw a vision. Continuing on, a great battalion lies in wait. A great battle is in store. Many sons shall fall. Pray for your sons. Pray for your daughters. Great mourning is on the horizon. Great mourning is in the thick cloud. Great mourning is in the dust. Lamentation in the sand, boots that crawl. A great measure where no one can hide. There shall be fire and homes ablaze. So seek Him and strengthen your hearts. Strengthen your walk. Strengthen your desire for your God. Lay aside those things that make you weak and forsake those things that remove His defense. Now, Benjamin, when I was writing this, when I got to the line about great morning is in the horizon, I had a vision, and I saw a U.S. soldier laying on the ground, and I could see him from the knees downward. He was wearing desert fatigues, and he was crawling on the ground in pain. I could tell he was dying in the vision, and I could tell he was screaming. And when I saw this image, I was overcome with travailing, but I kept on writing. And the words that I wrote were, great morning is in the horizon, the thick cloud and in the dust, lamentation in the sand, boots that crawl. So, Brother Benjamin, I haven't published this, by the way. I plan to do it, and folks, you will see it on the website pretty soon. I want to ask you what your thoughts on this are, because when I was writing it and it said a great battalion lies in wait, I thought that meant that our soldiers were somewhere in the Middle East and we were losing, and so they ambushed us, and we thought we were just going to walk in and it was going to be easy, but it wasn't. But then you brought something to mind. You said that your spirit was kind of feeling.
Yeah, I instantly discerned the great battalion lying in the wait is lying in ambush, and they're lying in the homeland. The great battalion that lies in wait is here in the United States, waiting to retaliate against our country when we go to war in the Middle East.
Now, I don't have a timeline, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know when this is going to happen, but according to this prophecy, it mentions our boys, it mentions our daughters, it says pray for them, pray for protection, seek God. According to this prophecy, folks, war is coming. Now, of course, we're in several small, rinky-dinky Mickey Mouse theaters at the moment, Benjamin, where we can walk in and beat up on people who have their weapons are a joke, Iraq, for example, or in Sudan, Yemen. Yay, rah-rah. But, Benjamin, we haven't had a formidable opponent in years, and we're going to face them when this new thing happens with Iran. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I want to talk about that now. Benjamin, you have told me privately that, according to what you're feeling and sensing from the Holy Spirit, war is on the horizon, and it's not going to be pretty. Can you share and talk about that? And actually, Benjamin, is it possible that this war that we're facing could be Bible prophecy?
No, there's no question it's Bible prophecy. You know, going back, this whole war against terrorism, which is really an astounding concept that our nation has gone to war against an idea. And I don't know how you capture or destroy or overcome an idea, but we are at war with an idea called terrorism. It all began 11 years ago in the year 2001 on 9/11. And Nathan, we didn't know each other back in those days, but in the summer of 9/11, I had a dream in which I saw the United States attacked by United and American Airlines, 4 aircraft. And at the end of the dream, I saw an atomic holocaust across cities of the United States. And I watched mushroom clouds, and I watched the fallout, and I caught the fallout in my hands. And I called a friend of mine who's a bit of an expert in these things, and I described this dream to him. And he said, well, have you ever seen fallout before? No. You've described it perfectly. And that was about 6 weeks before 9/11. And I didn't know if the planes had dropped the bombs or what had happened. But I knew that the next war was going to start with an attack in America using commercial airliners from United and American Airlines. And I went all over telling all of my friends and anyone that would listen, and I had a fairly wide audience because I'd written the book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand, that we were about to be attacked by commercial airliners. And everyone would say to me, that sounds crazy, Benjamin. How could we be attacked by United Airlines? I said, I know it sounds crazy, but it's about to happen. And then, of course, it happened. And my phone rang off the hook all day. Well, the only reason I mention that is, you know, 9/11, that was 11 years ago, folks. We're going to see the second half of my dream, in which I saw an all-out nuclear strike on the east and west coast of the United States. And folks, you know, in particular, I saw the strike on Southern California. I don't know. I mean, God can always deliver his people in the midst of an inferno, but I don't think there would be a lot of survivors in those cities.
When my prophecy says right here, let me look at it, a great battalion lies in wait, what are the possibilities that eventually America is going to be hit from the inside with these suitcases? Can you share?
Well, yeah, the Colonel Stanislav Leonov, who is a high-ranking Russian military officer who defected to the United States, he disclosed that Russian special forces smuggled suitcase-size nuclear bombs into the United States in the late 90s. And they're here, and they're going to be detonated as part of the Great Terror phase in the next war, and they're going to do so at a time and in such a way to appear to have been Arab terrorism, Al-Qaeda, the Iranians, you know, whoever, as long as it doesn't get tagged on the Russians. So if and when hostilities occur with Iran, that would be a perfect window for these suitcase bombs to be detonated inside our cities.
Now, of course, there's a lot of rumors, and we can't know exactly because they're rumors. Right, Benjamin?
Right.
But have there been rumors of what cities have been targeted?
Well, there are names floating around. You know, the major cities, L.A., Chicago, New York, the capital, Washington, D.C., Miami, and then also Las Vegas and Houston and possibly Philadelphia.
Dmitry Dudeman saw America burning.
Yes, he did.
The Holy Spirit showed him. Were those the same cities that...
Well, I think Dudeman talked about California. I think he talked about Florida. I think he talked about Vegas. They're going to burn. The Bible tells us that America, Babylon will burn.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to this. If he just mentioned your city, a collective gasp is probably happening and for our listeners in those cities. Folks, this is just a rumor, but Benjamin, how does someone treat that?
Well, and these are, you know, this report is a precursor, a false flag operation that would precede actual World War III hostilities. These are just going to be small. These are not large devices. We're only talking about, you know, maybe a 1 to 3 mile radius of complete destruction in the central business district and maybe another couple miles of a fairly high destruction from shrapnel and from, you know, blast damage and thermal damage. So if you live in the suburbs in these cities, well, you might get a pretty healthy dose of radiation, and, you know, that might affect your health over the next 5 to 10 years. But the majority of the population will survive these little terrorist bombs. When outright military action commences and we have an actual ICBM strike and the large bombs come in, well, then, yeah, you'll have pretty high fatality and casualty ratios in all the cities that are affected, and it's going to be a pretty tough day. I think we all should really be fasting and praying, you know, and seeking from the Lord the direction on what we need to do in this hour, because we're not going to figure this out.
We're not, Benjamin. Right now, conventionally, the stereotypical outlook on war, if you're an American citizen, is, cool, bring it on, another video game I can enjoy, and it's no big deal, it's a walk in the park, because we're indestructible, right?
Party on. Sure we are, of course. The hammer of the whole earth. You know, Babylon, we sit as a queen enthroned.
But when God is judging, Benjamin, he makes sure that you slip and fall. He doesn't let you win.
No. And, you know, we are so vulnerable. One EMP detonation shuts the whole country down. And they've run a bunch of computer scenarios on the effect of an EMP, Nathan. Basically, 90% of the population dies from starvation, disease, and urban violence. So we know North Korea has the bomb, right? What they don't tell us in the news is that North Korea built an EMP bomb. They don't tell us that Iran is building an EMP device. They leave those little details out. Well, sure, if you're a third world rogue dictator, and you don't have enough money to build a vast nuclear arsenal, the most efficient weapon to design is an EMP device, because one bomb takes out the entire United States.
But Benjamin, we're fortified. An EMP wouldn't get very far because our anti-missile batteries, we could fight off any high-flying attack, right? I mean, we're safe.
Yeah, I don't think so, because the EMP is it's a detonation in outer space, and our anti-missile defenses don't reach that far. We're basically totally vulnerable to an EMP strike. We have no defense. And now some of our military installations may be hardened, a few key infrastructure assets may be hardened, but the vast majority of America's civil infrastructure will be totally devastated from an EMP event.
In your opinion, would it be China, North Korea, or Iran that would do this?
Well, you know, China's calling the shots behind North Korea and Iran, but they would use either North Korea or Iran to actually execute the act. That way they could say, you know, oh, our bad little ally, you know. It wasn't us, it was those North Koreans.
Now, of course, I was being sarcastic, Benjamin, saying that we could fight it off, because I'm reminded of several months ago, a missile was captured by a local videographer. I don't know if it was a news person in the L.A. area. Remember that? And according to some of the alternative news, that was a submarine launch.
Yeah, that was a launch off the coast, correct.
By a Chinese submarine?
Correct.
That was able to get into our waters?
Right.
So our defenses allowed us...
We're defenseless.
A Chinese sub. And then a few weeks went by and another one, a similar incident happened off the coast of Texas by Padre Island, I believe. So we're not as fortified as we think.
The truth is, it's a big joke. We have no security. I don't know what people are thinking. We are wide open, and the time has come. I mean, you know, this is not a Nathan statement, it's a Benjamin statement, but I am persuaded that this is it, folks.
Before World War II happened, the atmosphere and all the rhetoric and the diplomacy failures that were happening throughout the world for a few years, and then the war finally started. We're seeing a lot of diplomatic failure now. We're seeing embargoes, sanctions, UN decisions, etc. It's getting worse, and it's ratcheting it up.
This is it, okay?
Folks, we need to be praying. And Benjamin, we have to, of course, place on the table that this war isn't something that the military generals and the military industrial complex are begging. Oh, no, we hope it doesn't happen. They're actually slobbering for a war. They want this war.
You know, it's interesting. It depends who you ask. I know that several Chinese generals have said a world war would be desirable for China from internal political perspectives. Israel is divided. They don't want to start something that could clearly get out of hand. All these forces are pushing the world towards this war reluctantly, some eagerly. Others, maybe who are a little wiser, realize this is Pandora's box. You open this one up, this is not going to be Iraq, the sequel. This is a whole new ball game, going to war with Iran. For one reason, the Russians have sold them state-of-the-art air defense missiles. They've got very sophisticated anti-ship missile capabilities. They've got supersonic torpedoes that can do a lot of damage to our fleet. This is not going to be an easy, you know, 48 hours, 100 hours, and it's over. This is going to be watching American naval power destroyed. This will be watching an American carrier burn on CNN. This will be Americans shuddered at a defeat militarily. You know, we sent in a couple hundred fighters to try to bomb their targets, and we lose half the planes. That's what this is going to look like.
Benjamin, I don't think that our fleets are designed to have a theater of war 10 miles from a coastline. I believe they actually fare pretty well out in the open sea. But that strait, how do you defend from 10 miles away a supersonic missile, those sunburn missiles?
That's the problem. The new technologies make some of our naval platforms obsolete. If Iran can do enough damage to our forces, even if we eradicate their program, even if we eliminate their military, if Iran can use this as the excuse to launch their next 9/11 campaign in our cities, it is hard to imagine the impact of 6 or 7 major U.S. cities having the downtown business district vaporized. I mean, 9/11 virtually shut down the country. That was 2 buildings. I'm talking about downtown Chicago, Manhattan, Wall Street, downtown L.A., gone. A hole in the ground. Financial losses will be incalculable.
Benjamin, I had a vision of Seattle having an explosion in its downtown.
And it very well may be one of the targets. Any major city could be on the list. And this technology exists. These devices are here. They're just waiting for the right time and place to detonate them. I know I had a dream. This was a few years back. It was nighttime. It was very, very dark. All of a sudden, a huge explosion and a big red fireball just rose up into the night sky. And I thought to myself, well, it finally started.
Do you know what city that was?
No, but if and when these suitcases are detonated, folks, you'll be able to say to yourself, oh, it finally started. You won't need to wonder, because it'll have finally started. And then we'll begin a war that no man can stop.
And then at that point, there'll be chaos, runs to the grocery store.
The U.S. economy, for all practical purposes, will cease functioning within 72 hours. The banks will close. Everything will be shut down.
What will gas cost?
Gas could be $200 a gallon 2 hours after that event, because the economy will shut down. It'll be probably shut down for a matter of weeks, where there'll be literally martial law imposed, no travel, no transportation, no air travel, borders locked down, ports locked down, everything locked down. Banks closed, stores closed.
So whatever the people have in their pantries on that day is what they're going to have.
That's what you're going to have for a while, yeah, until they get things back up and running again.
All right, Benjamin, well, we're running out of time. I would like to sum this up. The bottom line is, in 2012, this is the year. We're already in depression, according to what Benjamin said. So, folks, be wise, and I would just encourage you to not have fear, to not lose hope, but to just find God's mercy. And by doing that, then you're ahead of the game, because that's the bottom line. God wants to refine us. He wants to establish a relationship with us. He's our Father. And I want to encourage those of you that, if you're new to this program, if some of you may be saying, you know, I want to get closer to God. I don't know how. I don't understand the Bible. I'm not very smart when it comes to biblical things. If you're new to my program, I have another program called Meet in Due Season, and you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com, and I have sermons that are about getting to know God and understanding Him. So go there and listen to those. You can do it in the freedom of your own home, and they're about getting close to God and getting to know Him as our Father. Benjamin, do you have any last words to the people?
2012, we're going to see all these things happen, and everybody's life is going to change. So what kind of people ought we to be in this year? We ought to be walking reverently and fearfully before the Lord. We ought to be people of mercy and grace, loving and praying for one another. We ought to be people of fasting and prayer. We ought to be standing in the gap for one another, because, brothers and sisters, we're going to be all we got very soon. If we're really born again, all that's going to matter is whether or not we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that. It's a day of excitement and hope, Benjamin, because as these things transpire in the middle of the doom, that means Jesus' return is getting closer. Our hope.
It's not our world that's ending. Our kingdom is coming.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, that's the end of this program. I want to thank you for listening. Please share this with your loved ones. And if you have any questions or prayer requests, just go to our website at watchmanscry.com, and there's a contact link. If you appreciate the work that we're doing here at this ministry, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. My friends, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.